B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
A first-hand account of the OWL Grand Finals in Philly are coming up here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports and video game news with Joe over at the news desk. Plus, Norris and I are back from TwitchCon 2019, and we've got a lot to talk about. Lots changing with the platform. Those conversations are coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with the Overwatch League Grand Finals. They were going down in Philadelphia, and our own Robbie Landis was on scene to catch all of the action that went down between the Vancouver Titans and the San Francisco Shock.
That's right, guys. And I'll say it again, you know, that this matchup was just a match made in heaven. There was no other match this could have been. You know, going into the playoffs, these teams were dead even, 2-2 against each other, and 11 plus 11 map wins for each of them. And out of the six maps that they could have potentially played, statistically, six were favored for the San Francisco Shock and six were favored for the Vancouver Titans.
It literally could not be more even of a match.
It could not have been, but ultimately the Shock did take it 4-0. Titans can go ahead and go home, but the Shock, this was their story from the moments the playoffs started. You know, they got knocked into the loser's bracket by the Atlanta Reign in a 4-3 match. And then the next match against the London Spitfire, 4-0.
Which is notable because this is the first time in OWL where they've had a loser's bracket, where it's been double elimination.
That's right, that's right. And the Spitfire, you know, last year's 2018's grand champions.
Yes.
They went up against the Gladiators, 4-0. The Spark, 4-0. New York, 4-0. Since losing that match against Atlanta, every team that they went up against, they absolutely smoked. And honestly, even going into the grand finals, just about everybody else also favored the Shock going into them. I think, to my knowledge, it was only Chris Puckett, one of the analysts, and our very own Norris Howard here, who said that it would be the Titans that would be coming out on top. And I think everybody expected it to go seven, but they 4-0'd them real hard. And I actually got to ask Sinatra how it was that they turned it around after that defeat with Atlanta.
I think it was just the first match fiddles, you know, because it was the postseason, like the very end playoffs. So like we were like anxious and very maybe a little timid, nervous. Didn't play like scrims, but after we lost, everyone was just saying, you know, just play it, just have fun. Like this could be our last match, so just do whatever you want. Like screw it, play like scrims, play loose. And I think that's what really made us way better.
So I got to get Norris's take on this because,
oh,
as you had just said,
please,
Norris had called Vancouver to win. So, I mean, how do you feel about your team getting absolutely dumpstered?
You know what? As I watched the match and as it went on, it's clear they didn't deserve to be there. They played like a team that didn't deserve to be there. They were outclassed in every aspect of the game. And as you saw the match go on, San Francisco only got better, and they only got more dominant as the match continued to go on. There were maybe two maps that were even, I would even consider competitive, being map two on Eichenwald and map three on Anubis. And each time, it was a Vancouver error, a bonehead play, or a miscommunication that caused San Francisco to be able to take advantage and end up winning the map.
So do you put that on the coaching staff? Do you put that on the players? Like when you're looking at, like, you know, mental mistakes like that, that sounds to me like a coaching issue.
I mean, it does. I also think that the occasion also got the better of Vancouver. You got to remember, this is a team that's coming in from Apex out in Korea and Contenders. While that's a very big scene, at least these guys here in the Overwatch League, have seen what it is that the Grand Finals looks like in the Overwatch League. And I think that occasion may have been a little bit too big for Vancouver, which you wouldn't expect from a pro team, but it was something that it just looked like one team wanted to be champions and another team just didn't want to lose.
Well, and I don't think any of that should take away from the shock. I mean, the Titans still are a formidable force, and to be able to put them on their back legs like that and be able to shut down people like Haxel or people like Twilight, you know, the Shock were able to put them in that position that then they were able to seize it, you know, and obviously, you know, the victors are the ones that write history here. Mm-hmm. And I think that going forward, no one's going to talk too much about the Titans. This is all on the Shock. It was an absolutely perfect story for them, especially for Super, who's actually from Philadelphia and shared some of his thoughts on what this match meant to him.
You know, I've been to the Wells Fargo Center, obviously, because I used to work at a hockey games and basketball games there. I've sat top floor, bottom floors, you know, court side, seat side. I've been everywhere, right? But I haven't been on stage, and here I'm finally going. So I just think it's a crazy honor.
Look, that is such an amazing story. I mean, I've worked in places like that before. I worked at the Palace of Auburn Hills for years. And yeah, that's got to be kind of a crazy feeling if you've worked there for so long and now everyone's there to see you.
Listen, man, courtside, seaside, whatever, man, shocking four, baby. It don't matter.
I'm flipping through StubHub right now. I don't find very many seatside seats available. that's very impressive if he got to sit seatside.
Oh, man. So what we got to talk about next year because, you know, now that the grand finals have wrapped up, we are looking at one of the biggest years, the biggest season coming to OWL, maybe in its history, because now teams are going on the road to play matches.
That's right. Short-lived history, but you're right. Next season is going to be the biggest shakeup we've seen yet because as of the past two seasons, they basically played just about every single game.
To be clear, this is something that does not happen in all of esports. The first time in esports that this is even being attempted. This is a really big deal.
Yeah, so formally what they did is there'd basically be 20 weeks split into the four stages, and they were all played in the same city, you know, over in Burbank. They had their home stands this past weekend, but essentially all these teams every night are playing at the same place. And now we're looking at a 27-week season where they are going to be traveling all over the world. This is going to be tremendously different. We actually got to talk to Chris Puckett, one of the main analysts on the desk, and he had this to say about how travel could influence the league.
Now it's going to be more important than ever to have a deep roster because with travel, there is going to be wear and tear on your body. I mean, I was on the road constantly throughout my early days of my esports career, and you get worn down physically and also mentally.
And who has that deep roster, guys? Who just won the Overwatch League Grand Finals?
The San Francisco Shock, for sure.
They're already ahead of the game.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's worth noting, too, that he says, you know, he used to travel a lot for esports. And that's nothing new, necessarily.
Yeah, no, the
idea of going somewhere.
Right, right.
But the idea of hosting a team to come into your stadium and play, you know, a home matchup versus you, that is an entirely new concept to the idea of esports because no other esport has really regionalized the way that Overwatch has.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, the largest esports in North America, you know, we're talking about Overwatch, we're talking about League of Legends, and these are two esports that have so far centered their productions in one facility,
right?
And then that the teams kind of all live in that area, and it's going to be interesting returning to kind of like a more road dynamic, which you're right does harken back to sort of the early days of esports where individuals or teams would find a tournament that they wanted to attend.
Yep.
Travel to that tournament and, you know, see what happens. And this is entirely different because this is a little bit more structured like a traditional sports league would,
yes,
where you have home and away games. And that kind of even complicated the schedule of who's going to play who and when.
Yeah, see, I think that next year the league is still in for a bit of a bumpy road. And I think that they're going to be looking at two challenges to overcome. The first is seeing how the fans are going to react when certain teams maybe don't take the stage for, you know, Atlanta doesn't play till I think week five.
Right. Or
week what are you supposed four, to do yeah. if you're an Atlanta fan? I mean, do you just not tune in? Do you not care?
I mean, and that's the part of the paradigm that kind of doesn't exist in traditional sports. You know, you don't go 2-3 weeks without seeing your home team play. Everybody has usually a week one or a week two game for sure. So I think that is something that they need to work out. But the thing is that there's been, you know, we've seen that even if they watch one esport, people are watching multiple teams.
That is
of
true.
One esport.
That is true. I think one of the things that might want to be considered is running games in tandem. But in order to do that, you have to have more teams.
Yeah.
The league has to be larger. So I think, you know, we don't know whether or not there's going to be another team expansion going into season three.
I don't think 2020.
I doubt it.
2021, maybe.
See, I think it's a way bigger overhaul and a way bigger disruption to the way that the league runs to do home and away games than it is to add more teams. So hopefully maybe in 2021, we'll see the addition of more teams and we can start seeing you know, games running in tandem.
Yeah, I think the other thing that fans should prepare themselves for too is once they get going on this road schedule, and just like a lot of people have said, there's a lot more wear and tear and mental, you know, sort of fortitude that comes with having to travel. I think you're going to start to see a few more players throughout the season that aren't going to be able to quite take it or be able to keep up with it, and as a result may end up dropping out due to fatigue or to, again, go the streamer route as usual.
Well, streaming is a whole lot easier, but you know what? These guys are pros. This is something that should be expected of them. It is part of the job. Real quick, Robbie, as we wrap up here, what was overall the takeaway for you?
Takeaway was that the OWL can put on an event. I mean, it was just as good as what happened in New York, and probably I think my favorite part of it was this time I got to enjoy all of it distraction free without Norris weighing me down. I got to go back to my own hotel room.
Shut
just all weekend
up.
So good. It was so great. I loved it.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think about the second season of the OWL Grand Finals? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. How was the production? Did you like Zed? How did Questlove do? Still ahead here on Checkpoint XP, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what the biggest gaming lemon you've ever bought is. Plus, Norris and I are going to tell you all about TwitchCon 2019. Those conversations are still ahead here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP news desk.
Any of you guys use PlayStation Now?
No.
No.
Oh. Well, it's about to get cheaper, so you might want to.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WCTC 1450 in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and WLEA 1480 in Hornell, New York. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check out the latest in esports news. Plus, Norris and I are back from TwitchCon, and we've got tons of stuff to talk about. Those conversations are still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Fans of PlayStation Now, rejoice. The cost is going down. To compete with other streaming services, Sony has announced they're slashing the price of PlayStation Now in half. It'll now run $9.99. Yeah, it'll now run $9.99 a month and $59.99 for a year.
Okay,
that's not bad.
$20 a month explains why I had not invested in the service before.
Yeah.
So is this a permanent price reduction?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
It has to be in response to Game Pass.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the value at $9.99.
Here, I'll tell you what. This is what it's going to do for me now, because I don't think that I'm going to go in and drop 60 for the year. But when a big game comes out that I know I'm not going to spend 60, 70 hours on,
sure,
I'll be looking to see if it's available via PlayStation Now, because I'd much rather just pay the $10, beat it in a weekend, and be done with it.
Yeah, but I think that's a big factor there, is like the length of the game and how much, you know, how much time I would spend on it. If I'm going to spend, you know, 30, 40 hours on it, I'll just buy it. You know,
agreed.
But if it's something that I can beat in a weekend, yeah, maybe I'll play it on PS Now. I think also Stadia might be the other factor here.
It's just the general rush of the streaming services.
It's
true. Got to compete. By the way, I accidentally labeled this article "Price of PlayStation Now Cut in Half," and that is not accurate at all.
Because
it's a comma issue, so sorry about that if you read it on the website and thought I said that the price of the PS4 had gone down. Speaking of Sony, they're facing a major shakeup in the chain of command. One of their top bosses, Sean Layden, is officially leaving Sony to pursue other opportunities. He's been with Sony since the late 2000s, and his next step is, as of yet, unknown.
Well, good luck to Sean. We'll be looking to see where he ends up landing, mm-hmm, if it's indeed inside of the video game industry. But, you know, that's actually a pretty big deal.
It's weird to see him leaving right before the PS5 comes out. I don't know if there's anything more to read into that, but maybe there is, maybe there's not.
Does he know something?
I know. Troy Baker reportedly turned down a role in Borderlands 3. That's been pretty well known for a while, but what we didn't know is why. He was reportedly offered the role of Reese Strongfork, his character from Telltale's Tales from the Borderlands. However, he turned down the role after Gearbox was unwilling to commit to union rules for the project.
This is really disappointing, especially to hear from, you know, a company like Gearbox. Kind of continues my disinterest with any of the Borderlands franchise.
Same.
But I do not like hearing this at all. You know, for as hard as voice actors fought for the concessions that they did get out of the video game industry,
yeah,
to hear that those concessions are routinely not being met, very, yeah, disappointing.
Exactly. And I mean, Troy just said it kind of straight up. He's like, listen, I can't take a project that isn't, you know, covering union rules. So sorry. And he passed on it.
Fair enough.
Come on, Gearbox. Treat them right.
Well, speaking of Gearbox, they're in some legal trouble over music they used in their 20th anniversary release of Duke Nukem 3D. Bobby Prince, the composer on Duke Nukem 3D, as well as a handful of other popular games, you know, like Doom, alleges that the rights to the music did not transfer over to Gearbox when they acquired the Duke Nukem franchise.
Oh.
He claims he gave Gearbox multiple opportunities to make it right, but they has now restored it to use in a lawsuit.
Listen, when it comes to stuff like this, you know, it does come down to a lot of, you know, hearsay, unless we see actual legal documents.
For
but
sure.
The stuff, you know, I'm with you, Nate. You know, I don't like when developers give me reasons to not like their games because of who they are as a company.
You know, Randy Pitchford should know better than this. I honestly, between these two stories, I am very disappointed at the business end of Gearbox, which means that I'm going to keep my money in my wallet. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that is the right way to go about it. The newest trailer for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order has released, and with it, given us a look at one of our primary villains. The Second Sister, an Imperial Inquisitor, looks to be one of Cal's main antagonists, and she looks pretty awesome. The game's scheduled to release on November 15th, and I mean, guys, it's happening to me like it happens every time.
Don't do it.
Oh, no.
I get excited.
I see something that gets me excited.
This is good, because now Joe can waste his money and let us know if it's actually good.
That's
or
actually
not.
A good point.
You know what?
Yes.
Actually, that worked out for us the last time.
It did.
Except for Norris.
Except for me. Yeah.
Didn't work out for Norris.
Yep.
But now, Norris, you know better.
That's true.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
Be all the interested you want.
The problem
I'm
is
I'm sure
like,
this decision won't haunt you forever.
Yeah. It feels like it could be one of those decisions. It's like always, I keep watching like every bit of news that comes out about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order because I keep waiting for that other shoe to drop. I keep waiting for that first one. It's like, uh-oh, here's our look at their microtrans model or something.
No,
like that
shoe doesn't drop till you've already given them your money.
No, that shoe dropped well before Battlefront 2. I got suckered in full well knowing the risks on that one.
But the story is canon.
Oh, God, I know. I know, I'm such a sheep. Logitech has announced that they've purchased popular streaming software company Streamlabs. Streamlabs is, of course, best known for Streamlabs OBS, a software used to broadcast onto platforms like Twitch, Mixer, and Facebook.
You know what? I'm actually for this, because I don't think I've ever bought a Logitech product that hasn't just worked for me. Just out the box, you plug it in, no problems whatsoever, and Streamlabs, as great as they are, has quite a bit of problems.
Well, I think that's a really excellent point, talking about maybe some more infrastructure that they could bring to that particular piece of software. But I think this was a move after they probably heard some of the rumblings of Twitch coming out with its own bespoke
studio software.
Yeah. And so I think they saw this and said, you know what?
We got to act.
Let's cut our losses here and get the check.
Yeah. Well, and if you're out there worried about the people at Streamlabs getting their due, don't. They were paid $89 million for the rights to Streamlabs, so they did. They made out pretty well,
that
I feel like.
That seems rather low for software virtually everybody uses to stream.
Yeah, if you think about how many people actually use Streamlabs, that does seem a little
does
bit
low. Does it? Oh, that seems like a lot of money
to me. A little bit.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
It all seems like a lot of money when you're as poor as you are, Joe.
That's true.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe, for the update.
It's a broke ass.
The internet was in chaos last month when it was revealed that Sony and Marvel had a falling out and they wouldn't be teaming up for the next Spider-Man movie. And we've gotten some news on that front. And listen, we all knew that they would work this out.
On,
we
man.
All knew that they would work. Buddy. Come on.
All right. You gotta hit him. I'll give him one.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah. Come on, dog.
We knew that this was going to happen.
Well, we
surprising
hope.
Absolutely no one.
This is not hope. This was not hope.
The two media megaliths figured out their problem to make billions of dollars.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, money wins out in the end. Sony and Marvel have announced a new partnership that will see Spider-Man remain in the MCU for his third film. That movie will be coming out July 2021 and should give Marvel a chance to properly write him out of the story if need be.
Which is what the current rumors going around are, because I definitely feel, as much as both of them are going to profit from this, I definitely feel like Marvel dodged that bullet of having to worry about, well, how do we address this?
Uh-huh.
And now you have that chance to do it.
Well, to be honest, as a consumer, that's all anybody ever really, you know, wanted. We know that every hero is not going to be in every movie forever. So at some point, some heroes are going to have to be written out or killed off or whatever.
Well, no, it's not just a third movie that he's going to be in. The deal is now for his third solo movie and one additional movie in the MCU, which is being rumored will be the new Avengers.
I don't know. I think I definitely am with you guys that Marvel, now that they've gotten him back, needs to figure out where the character goes and in a very quick hurry.
Yeah, how to work without him.
It has been proven that Sony is not going to act in good faith. So, yes, you need to end that arc in some kind of satisfactory fashion. I'd love to see the death of Spider-Man, like as an arc played out, maybe inside of somebody else's movie. But I mean, like that.
No, that works perfectly. Give him his third film and then whatever the next Avengers-esque is, in order to help him complete that parallel that's been drawn between him and Tony throughout everything. He sacrifices himself in a similar way that Tony does.
That's great in theory. I don't feel like Sony is going to sign off on them killing off the hero they're trying to get full rights back
to. Yeah, I don't either.
I don't feel like that's going to happen unless they're going to reboot again.
What do you think? What are Sony's options? What are Sony's options? You want us to continue a plot arc that we know we're not going to be able to capitalize on? If I'm Marvel, that's the wrong way to go too.
I gotcha. Because in order to sell Sony on this, if you let us do the death of Spider-Man, you guys now get Miles Morales.
Oh, they sign away the rights to Miles?
First of all, they don't have the rights
true.
To Miles.
That's true.
Sony does, but I think that's how you sell it, and that way they can properly do Into the Spider-Verse.
I'm sorry to see Sony have Miles Morales.
I mean, this story has led to some awfully interesting rumors, like Tom Holland will be making an appearance in the next Venom sequel. I'd love to see that. That would be fun.
That wouldn't be bad. He does not need to be in Morbius.
No,
he does not need to be in Morbius.
I mean, frankly,
Morbius doesn't need to be a thing.
Yeah, they don't need to make Morbius. Morbius doesn't need to be in Morbius.
No.
And certainly no one's going to be in the theater for Morbius. But,
no.
uh,
Yeah, certainly this is a big win for Marvel and the MCU, and it looks like Sony gets to make a whole lot more money. So I don't understand why this was even a thing. I think I have a private little theory that this was an inside job, and they just whipped us all up, whipped the fandom
into
up
a fervor.
Into a fervor so that they could capitalize on the next movie. But listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited that Spider-Man gets to stay in the MCU? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you have any of your own conspiracy theories about Marvel and Sony, send them our way. We'd love to hear them. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media audience and find out what the biggest gaming lemon you've ever bought is. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
The final vacancy in the LCS has been filled. We'll tell you who it is.
Stick around. Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The latest in esports news is here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, and The Other Identity. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. All right, let's get the latest in esports news.
Oh, my God!
Sports Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
Riot has officially announced that Evil Geniuses will be the 10th and final team in the LCS next year.
I do not believe!
Their 10th slot had been vacant following the ejection of Echo Fox from the league over the summer. Riot has been fielding offers for a team to join, and it was longtime North American organization Evil Geniuses who eventually got the call.
Absolute coup.
Yeah, at long time, but... you know, kind of like a bit tarnished, right? Like they had a lot of momentum, but then they lost a lot of squads and a lot of teams, and they stopped competing in a lot of different games. This is a big deal.
And Evil Geniuses was one of the brands that really sort of in the birth of professionalized esports is, you know, Evil Geniuses were one of the first ones there.
Also one of the first and earliest teams that I can remember rooting for when watching like the international and Dota type stuff.
Oh yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, Evil Geniuses has been in the LCS before. They were there, I think, in 2014 was the last time they were competing in there. But you talk about an organization that was at one time kind of the pinnacle of North American esports, and like, right. I don't know if tarnish is the right word. They just kind of faded into obscurity. They're coming back to the LCS starting in 2020.
Congratulations to Evil Geniuses.
ESL and DreamHack have become the latest esports entities to partner with Nielsen to get a better idea of their viewership. Overwatch started the trend back in their first season, and League of Legends recently followed suit. With ESL and DreamHack now on board, most of the major esports are now using professional ratings to better sell
this
to their advertisers.
This is a big deal.
It's a big deal, but it makes total sense. Mm-hmm. You have to have objective measurement tools for your audience if you want to get those big sponsors. Well, and we know that big sponsors are ready to be in the space. Well, Honda, State Farm. There are so many big sponsors just ready to come in, but you have to have verified statistics.
It is. You do. And one of the number one things that we asked ourselves when we were out at TwitchCon and watching the OWL finals is, oh, wow, they got 250,000 people watching on Twitch. Yeah, but that didn't include how many people were also watching on NBC. ABC. So you really do need to have those verifiable statistics in order to bring that to the table when talking to advertisers.
Totally. I mean, do you think this is just a byproduct of where esports has grown to? Because it feels like, you know, 5 years ago, you didn't need to have that. 5 years ago, it was incredible just to say there's 100,000 people watching
online. You also weren't trying to court traditional media sponsors.
That's the big thing. You weren't getting the meeting with Ford.
And Ford says, Bud, what are you pulling on Nielsen?
Exactly. Period.
The Renegades have signed Ryuga to compete in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. The longtime Ike main is considered one of the best in the world at the character, having originally made a name for himself on Smash Bros. For Wii U. He won the Holiday Heist earlier this year and had a top 10 finish at Frostbite. He'll now represent Renegades at the Big House 9 this weekend in Detroit.
He was a lot of fun to watch at Frostbite.
Yeah, and I think this is a really good move, and I think, you know, having a debut at Big House while also playing for the Renegades is an awesome debut, too. I'm really looking forward to watching him and watching his progress as he proceeds through the rest of the year for this. But I think this is a big move for Renegades and a good entry point into Smash U.
I'm super excited to be seeing an Ike main go up there, too. I mean, really slow fighter, but really powerful when done right. Can be so much fun to watch.
You know, we also saw another player main Ike who was very good, and that was MK Leo.
Oh, yeah. I think he's dropped playing Ike recently, but he used to, yeah. The beat goes on for Echo Fox, who continue to face issues. They're now looking to oust Rick Fox from the organization, with most of their management claiming he's not acting in the best interest of the organization. He was reported to have said he would, quote, burn this company to the ground. In addition, he allegedly tried to poach the team's president and general manager to create a new company.
Ugh, this is just depressing. Echo Fox has gone from being a well-respected esports organization with one of the most charismatic people at its front. You know, Rick Fox is always an interesting interview, and to hear all of this drama, I don't know who to believe anymore.
Well, you want to know what sort of hurts me the most reading all these stories is from the beginning when this first started with those emails that came out, right? Rick Fox was said to just leave. He was going to drop it all and just walk away from the company. Mm-hmm. And it's like what? They kept him around now to just drag him through the mud over it?
I mean, that does at times what it feels like, yeah.
I mean, a bit. I don't even think it matters who's right or who's like, because the truth is somewhere in the middle. It always is somewhere in the middle.
That's true.
And if it is somewhere in the middle, then everyone's in the wrong.
Yeah,
at this
everyone's
point,
at
it
fault.
Is a mess. If you're someone who's still playing for Echo Fox,
How does Sonic Fox feel?
Right, exactly. Right. You have to be getting your resume together, right? Gen G has announced they'll be entering the NBA 2K League next season. They'll be based in Shanghai and will be the first team in the league not tied to an NBA franchise. Mm. The move represents the league's movement into China, where basketball is, of course, incredibly popular.
I was literally about to say that. This is such an amazing play from Gen G, and them being able to not just get the NBA's blessing with this, but also to be based in China, of which they will be the only dog in the NBA 2K fight coming from China. I think that's an amazing play for them, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they go up against the big boys from the NBA.
Well, and if they continue this trend too, and more endemics start getting into place, especially, you know, outside of the U.S., you could see NBA 2K League now start to turn into a global league.
It definitely could, and you could start seeing it having, you know, different regions, because basketball, like soccer and like other esports, are truly global. They translate very well to be able to be very easily understood.
Check me if I'm wrong on this. There's a huge European scene for basketball. Am I correct?
There is. Definitely in Spain and in certain parts of like northeastern Europe and in Italy. So for sure, there's a play in all continents for it.
You know, we talked to Gen G a couple times over the last couple years, and they were actually the ones who were bringing in NBA talent to come help coach their teams.
That's true.
I wonder if there hasn't been a more long-term play at kind of this NBA 2K league that's been in the works.
I mean, we'll find out if they come into the league and absolutely dominate.
Fair enough. That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. While everyone was busy over the weekend, Evil Geniuses were competing out at ESL One New York, and the results were absolutely stunning.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned earlier on that Evil Geniuses has returned to LCS. It's not the only esport that they've returned to.
This is kind of what I was trying to allude to, because Evil Geniuses have had an insane week.
Yeah, they also have returned to Counter-Strike Global Offensive, where they were once a very powerful organization.
Yes.
They basically acquired the roster of NRG, who is another, was also competing in CSGO, and decided to go attend ESL 1 New York, where people were like, hey, this is exciting.
We'll they just decided.
Whatever.
You know,
Half of us were out here already.
Yeah,
whatever.
Why not? We'll just go. We'll see what happens.
Exactly. So, people were excited to see them compete again. But not only did they go and compete again, they go all the way to the finals after Astralis bounces Team Liquid in the semifinals.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, I know. But then Astralis meets up with Evil Geniuses in the finals, and Evil Geniuses win.
They don't just win. They thrash them. 3-1
They
wow.
did.
I mean, what a crushing.
That first map was on Inferno, and that wasn't even close.
No.
That was an absolute domination. It looked like Astralis was going to come back in the second game, but then I think Evil Geniuses rattled off like 9 straight maps in a row to take the second map. Yeah. Astralis gets the third map, and Evil Geniuses wins it in 4, takes home $100,000. That is an incredible return to competition. If you're Evil Geniuses,
their first tournament back, right?
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine going to a new job and then coming in and securing the check your first week at the gig? Like, I mean, how cool is that? And we talk about Evil Geniuses and them returning to the LCS, but they're able to join into 2 major esports in 1 weekend, secure the bag in 1 of them in their very first tournament. Who has had a better week than Evil Geniuses? And how when's the last time we saw a week that good besides OG winning the $1 billion?
I don't know about a week that good, but last year was the year of Cloud9. And looking at the way that Evil Geniuses is setting themselves up for 2020, could they be the organization of 2020?
Oh, I mean, they certainly could be. Could they be the 100 Thieves of this year? That could be.
Wait,
interesting.
Say they didn't do too well. League of Legends, Joe.
Fair enough.
I'm already looking at switching my team from 100 Thieves to Evil Geniuses in the LCS next year.
Well, it wouldn't be a new season if Robbie doesn't change which team he's rooting
for.
It's true.
It is worth noting, too, that over the weekend, obviously, ESL 1 New York happens. At the beginning of this week, DreamHack Masters Malmo gets started off. Evil Geniuses loses to Greyhound Gaming, gets bounced down to loser bracket almost right off the bat.
We spoke a little soon.
Meanwhile, Team Liquid also loses early, gets bounced down to losers. Astralis did great. They've qualified to continue advancing already, but we'll see how it goes for Evil Geniuses and Team Liquid. You know, obviously, it does, you know, make you look kind of cockeyed at the ESL 1 New York or the win, but you can't take it away. ESL 1 New York's a huge event.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you can pack the Barclays Center, that's always a huge event.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what would you like to see from Evil Geniuses now over as we move into, you know, kind of we're approaching the off season, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll see them competing in Dota 2, but we're going into the off season where we wait for League of Legends and Overwatch and everything to come back. What does Evil Geniuses need to do over the winter to kind of cement themselves?
Not lose to Greyhound in the opening round.
Yeah, which I didn't know a bus company had a team. But the thing is that I would love to see Evil Geniuses, you know, continue to consolidate their power and then move into 2020 and potentially look at that Grand Slam. I think if you could come out and win ESL 1 in such a dramatic fashion, you have to be a contender for the Grand Slam.
Yeah, the fact that the Grand Slam has been hit a couple of times now, I think that that's a big goal. It's a lofty goal, but you know what? If you want to cement yourself at the top, that's where you do it. But we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily. I know it's a long show today, but we're going to check in with our social media followers to find out what the biggest gaming lemon you've ever bought is. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Norris and I are fresh from TwitchCon 2019. We're going to tell you all about it. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
TwitchCon 2019. Woo! It was an exciting weekend for us. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on The Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as The Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to BPodStudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. So out at TwitchCon 2019, Norris and I got to check out, it was actually our very first TwitchCon.
That's right.
We've kind of heard about it in the past and paid attention to what happens out there, but really we kind of just wanted to go out and see what the party was all about.
Yeah, and yeah. I hear as far as party cons go, TwitchCon's not bad.
All right, so let me.
It's a big party con.
Let me break this down to you. First and foremost, if you're trying to go there and get any business done, don't even bother with the show floor. Just go to parties.
If you're trying to get business done, the first thing that you need is you need a really good liver, because you are going to be at bars all throughout the entire time you're there.
Good thing you left Joe at home then.
No, it's true.
Yeah, my
now listen,
not great.
We were able to go to the very super exclusive 100 Thieves party.
We were, yes.
Oh, got to paint the picture. What was that like?
So, it was at the Amina nightclub in San Diego.
Very, very nightclubby.
Very nightclubby. It was very cool. It was, your average nightclub.
Did you have to glam up, Nate?
Oh, please tell me Nate glammed up.
Nightclub night, you can't take him like he looks.
Well, I was forced to, unfortunately.
I'm sorry,
I broke away from him as quickly as possible.
That was smart. Leave him on his own. Smart.
Straight up. But no, it was really cool. We were able to go to that party. That party was awesome. Yep. I'm not gonna out any personalities.
Yeah, because
there were a lot of personalities there, and they were very embarrassing.
Listen, we've been to E3 parties before, stuff like it. Pretty similar to that.
Kind of like that.
Can you at least name some of the people you got to meet? I saw XQC was out there. You got any FaceTime?
I watched him walk by and was not interested in the least. Oh. Sure.
He walked into the press room and was like, hey guys.
Anyone want to interview
I'm supposed to meet somebody in here? And we all looked at each other like,
No. We did end up running into Hungrybox, although I don't know that he'll remember.
No, HBox was having a good time out there. I met a few FGC folks, so that was cool. K-Rat, we connected. He was a cool guy. So we talked to a few people.
Met one of the top five tanks in OWL in the world.
One of the best Overwatch League players in the world.
Well, I don't know, because Super was out at the Overwatch League Grand Finals.
No. She's a streamer for the Florida Mayhem.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But on ladders, she's like top five.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So we were at Hello Parties, right?
Yes.
So that was really cool. The convention itself is also really cool. If you are somebody looking to get into streaming or take your stream to the next level, it is definitely where you need to.
Absolutely. A lot of big announcements for the platform, for Twitch in general. And also, there are a lot of exhibitors out there that are showing off kind of the next step, the next wave in what's coming to the platform. So a lot of really great cameras, a lot of really great microphones.
And deals on them.
Yeah. The deals were insane. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. We're currently talking about TwitchCon 2019. And, what esports is in our name, so I feel like we got to talk about the esports that were going on out at TwitchCon, because of course Twitch Rivals had a big presence out at TwitchCon.
Twitch Rivals had tournaments all weekend long, and it was really actually pretty awesome to see them go wholeheartedly into the sort of esports angle of the platform. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Twitch Rivals, it's basically a way for streamers to participate in a competitive scene. So instead of being a part of a team and competing, you're able to do Twitch Rivals and maybe win some money. So there were the three big tournaments, which were basically Fortnite, Teamfight Tactics, and Apex. Fortnite had a really cool story, as the winners of that tournament were 1400 Pika, Rue26, and 21 Savage. So I'm joking, but Tina Reyes, that was a team that was pretty much cobbled together at TwitchCon. Two amateurs, one female player from Gen G Esports. Right. They were able to win and beat the who's who of Fortnite. They beat Tfue. Tfue was out there. Yeah. They beat Dr. Lupo.
Wow.
Everybody who's everybody in Fortnite, they beat them.
I love that, because one of the things that, you know, Epic has always kind of strived for with Fortnite Esports is this idea of anyone can participate.
Yes.
And anyone can have a shot. And this really kind of lends some credence to that. Three people who met up at TwitchCon and said, Yeah, why not? Let's go for it.
We'll give it a shot.
And they win.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is pretty amazing. So we also got to check out the Teamfight Tactics.
Yeah, the Teamfight Tactics tournament was also really cool. I'm big on the Teamfight Tactics, as you guys know.
We know.
And I'm sorry.
We can't get you to stop playing it even when we're doing a radio show.
It's drugs! Anyway, I actually asked one of the casters for the LCS, Mark Z, as to why he thinks Teamfight Tactics is so popular.
I think it's just a fun genre as a whole that is really exceptionally fun when you add League of Legends IP to it, and the experience that you get when, like, you see a Gnar in TFT jump forward and act like a Gnar in the actual game, and you see some of these interactions where it looks like it's actually League of Legends happening, and that makes it super fun.
Yeah, that tournament was awesome. It was actually won by C9J Schreit, a player from Brazil, who had to convince his boss to fly him up there for this tournament. He actually brings home the bag. So congratulations to him.
I would feel very uncomfortable convincing my boss, like, hey, fly me out for this tournament. Like, it's like, man, the pressure is on to perform. Yeah. You can't take dead last.
You're not wrong.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool. But also, in that same conversation, I was able to talk to Dash and Kobe about, you know, a little bit more League of Legends stuff. I had to ask him about, you know, everything that was going on at Worlds, because that is right around the corner. And here's what they had to say about Team Liquid's chances at the World Championships.
It's very hard to say at what point is Team Liquid really a favorite to get out. And hey, if one specific team gets moved in, all of a sudden they're no longer a favorite. I think finals is very aspirational.
Come on, guys, what's going on?
Whoa, what was that there?
Kobe was a little bit upset,
turned up.
A little turned up at Dash's assessment there. But funny story, right at the end of that interview, we were kicked out of TwitchCon.
Yeah, we got Riot kicked out of TwitchCon.
What?
Yeah.
Guys, you're representing the brand out there.
Well, I mean, it was pretty funny at the end of the day. I mean, everybody was pretty, you know, we laughed it off. But yeah, we sure enough got everybody kicked out.
We spent the better part of a year trying to make a good relationship with Riot, and you get them thrown out.
Listen, I can't control that, man.
See, this is why I didn't want to take him to the Overwatch League Grand Finals.
I get it now. Yeah, now it makes sense.
I'm a troublemaker, is what you're trying to say?
Yeah. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you check out at TwitchCon if you were out at TwitchCon? And why didn't we link up? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what the biggest gaming lemon you've ever bought is. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back.
I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida, 99.3 FM. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked you what your biggest gaming lemon is. And before you ask, our older listeners will understand perfectly what I'm talking about.
Right.
A lemon is when you buy something, and then after you buy it, you realize either it's a piece of crap,
right,
or that it just sucks in general, or that you don't like it.
Yeah. Usually, right, that face that you make when you bite into a lemon.
Yeah, right. kinda. So it's a turn of phrase that the youngins don't use all that much, so we had to define it for a few people. It's okay, we'll forgive you this time. But for me, listen, we all made a purchase pack to buy that one crappy game.
For Honor.
For Honor.
Yeah. Glad I welched on that one.
That's definitely up there. But I also, like, I was really into Ghost in the Shell, and there was a game on the PlayStation 2 that, like, at one point, you got through, like, three levels, and the rest of it, there was, like, a broken part, and you couldn't get past it. You literally couldn't progress in the game. And, yeah, that was really
disappointing. Well, Nate,
you lose.
Yeah, I felt like I did lose.
See, I was actually going to go for Honor as well, but technically I recouped a bit of my losses reselling it to my roommate for $40. It was only down 20. I think the one
sold that to Chris?
No, to a different roommate.
Oh, David, okay.
Yeah. But I think the one that hurt me the most, because I had justified in the fact that I knew I wasn't going to play this, but my girlfriend is such a big fan of the game, she will get plenty of time out of it, and that was Kingdom Hearts 3. I played it just enough on stream to show how much I hated it, then handed it off to her. I think she may have played it even less than I did.
Oh, no!
We had the same thing in our household with both Rob and Sarah, who, like, they were big fans of Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, not the a million other ones, mm-hmm. but the first two. But they both got Kingdom Hearts 3, and both of them played it for a little bit before going,
No,
I don't think so.
Nah. Jeez. For me, it was one from way back in the day. It was Star Wars Masters of Teriyaki or something like that.
Was that the fighting game?
It was the fighting game.
I had that too.
Masters of Teriyaki.
Yeah, it was a fighting game. It was really bad. It was really, 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 really bad.
Sai.
It was bad.
Oh, that was back on the PlayStation 1. In circa 97,
yes,
man.
It was bad, and I remember spending all of $40 on it, and I didn't even take it back to Funko Land. I put it in its case, and I remember throwing it off a hill.
Off a hill?
Funko Land is too good for you. Joe, what about you, man?
Here's my biggest gaming lemon. I got in on the Matrix Online.
I was in the beta test for that.
Oh, no.
And knew so much. I didn't even put my, I told GameStop, listen, you got to take my $5 and put it on something else.
Oh, no.
There's no way I'm ever going to buy that.
Oh, what was the PS2 one? What was the PS2 one? It was the Matrix game PS2. And that's another limit for me, because that one was
the
terrible.
Matrix really bad? I have no idea.
It was terrible.
Horrible.
You after had to the play Matrix as on, Ghost and Niobe.
After the Matrix Online, I was never willing to try another Matrix game ever again.
That's probably smart. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our social media question and asking you guys what your biggest gaming lemon is, what the biggest gaming purchase that you've bought that you were disappointed in. So let's take a look at our social media responses and find out what you were saying.
Yeah, and you guys did not disappoint. You answered in force. So Billy over on Facebook says it's been over 20 years, but still Superman 64.
Really?
Only game I have ever returned. I played it for about an hour and couldn't take it anymore. Took it right back for a refund.
I mean, okay, look, you got a refund. This is a long time to hold a grudge, man.
It is a legendarily broken game.
Yeah,
so you're not wrong factually, but I feel like that's low-hanging fruit.
Angelica says, definitely Anthem, and it's awful because I defended BioWare hardcore when it first released.
You should have listened.
We told y'all.
We tried.
Yeah, we took a lot of flack for our opinions on Anthem before it came out, and we were proven right in the long run on that one.
Hopefully, Angelica was one of those that was giving us flack that has now seen the error of her ways.
That's right. Fernando says, I'm between Star Wars Battlefront 2 or Battleborn, but I'm going to have to go with Battleborn. Oof. It lived for 1 week, and then it got killed by Overwatch.
Big oof.
Big oof. When is the documentary about the spectacular failure that is Battleborn going to come out?
My favorite of that story is still the coup de grace that was the first free weekend of Overwatch the day that Battleborn went free to play.
Oh, yikes.
Ouch. Curtis on Facebook says, Watch Dogs, had it pre-ordered almost immediately, bought tons of Watch Dogs stuff, thought it was going to be the greatest game ever, stopped playing it after about 3 hours. And that one is really one that was one of those games where it was like, wow, this looks great in the trailers. And then it was awful. And I'm really worried about Watch Dogs Legion doing that to me again.
Yeah, it didn't quite live up to the trailer hype. But, you know, at the same time, this is why I'm so jaded when it comes to trailers. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't invest in, you know, additional stuff or, like, branded stuff until I know I like the game.
I'm like, this is where I'm getting suckered in with Star Wars Fallen, Jedi Fallen Order again. It's a trailer. I don't trust it, and it's probably going to end up being awful. I'm going to
be mad. You probably shouldn't trust it.
Yeah. On Twitter, Not Morgan Freeman says the 32X was peak 90s. Take your Genesis to the extreme. Garbage idea, garbage games, just garbage. Yeah, the 32X
was one of the worst gaming peripherals
There's
ever
a few
in
on
history.
Here that I vehemently disagree with as lemons.
Really?
Honestly.
Really?
Honestly, yeah.
Name one.
Jeremy on Twitter says the first Assassin's Creed.
I love that game.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I genuinely like the first Assassin's Creed game. I mean, I put it down for like 3 years, but I did beat it.
I see where he's coming from, though, from the concept of like, hey, look at my sweet assassin game where I get in trouble if I kill anybody.
No, you get in trouble when you kill the people you're not supposed to.
Sure,
you're an assassin, not a mass murderer.
Not a genocidal maniac. Saroscopic says, I loved Hotel Dusk as a kid, so when Sing went out of business, I made sure to buy again Eye of Providence, their final game. Let's just say Sing deserved to crumble after that trash fire
of a
game.
There's nothing worse than falling in love with a developer and then having them break your heart.
It's so true.
Especially one that has such a track record from, like, you know, 1983 and onwards. Square Enix, I'm looking at you.
Alex on Twitter says, Randy Pitchford still owes me a $60 refund for Aliens Colonial Marines. Which, by the way, a game they fixed over the years. Apparently, there was an issue with the AI in that game that just needed one little thing, like, flipped. And once you flip it, it works fine.
Yeah.
Really?
The whole game works.
That's fascinating.
It's actually a fascinating story about how easy it was to fix. And I don't know if it was Gearbox that did it or if it was a modder that
figured it out. There was a modder, I think it was.
Of course it's going to be a modder to figure something like that out.
Blake on Facebook says, probably the Lost World Jurassic Park for PS1. I was hyped for the game after the movie and convinced myself it was good even though I knew better. Starting with the frustrating compy section didn't help. You were hyped after watching the movie?
Back in the PS1 days, movie games were never good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Never. Movie games have never been good.
No, they're not good at all. All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave it right there, but make sure you're following us on social media so that you can answer next week and every week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.